Hey everyone, welcome to another deep dive. I'm always excited for these. And today we're tackling something that's so foundational to the Christian faith community. We're going to go deep into scripture to really understand why it matters so much.
It is amazing how these ancient texts still speak to us today. We'll be looking at verses from Hebrews, John, Corinthians, and more to see what they have to say about Christian community and how we can live it out.
Okay. Awesome. So let's dive right in with Hebrews 10:24-25. It talks about meeting together, encouraging one another, and stirring each other up towards love and good works. What stands out to you in this passage?
Well, the first thing that hits me is the intensity of it. It doesn't just suggest that we meet up. It's like urging us not to neglect gathering together, almost like it's essential for our faith, like breathing.
Yeah, I see that. And thinking about the context, too, these were early Christians facing persecution.
Why?
Gathering wasn't just a social thing for them. It was life-giving.
Right. It provided strength, encouragement, a sense of belonging in the midst of some really difficult circumstances. And you know what? That need for connection, for shared purpose, it's just as relevant today, even if we're not facing the same kind of outward persecution.
Absolutely. It makes me think about how easy it is to isolate ourselves, especially in today's world, with all the distractions and the demands on our time. But this verse reminds us that we're made for connection, to be a part of something bigger than ourselves.
I agree with that. And it's not just about being together. It's about what we do when we're together, encouraging each other, spurring each other on towards love and good works. It's an active, outward-focused kind of community.
So we've established that gathering is essential. But what's the glue that holds a Christian community together?
Well, John 13:34-35 gives us a pretty clear answer, doesn't it? It's love, but not just any kind of love. Jesus calls it a new command to love one another as he has loved us.
And that is a whole different level of love. It's not just about warm, fuzzy feelings. It's radical. It's self-sacrificing. It goes against our natural inclinations.
Exactly. It's a love that's rooted in Christ's example, a love that's willing to put others first, to forgive, to serve, even when it's hard. And that's what sets a Christian community apart from any other group or gathering.
So how does this love actually play out in the context of community? Does 1 Corinthians 12 have anything to say about that?
Oh, absolutely. That chapter, especially verses 12-27, uses this incredible metaphor of the body to describe the church. It says we're all different parts with different gifts and functions, but we're all connected and interdependent.
Like a team, right?
Exactly, like a team. Everyone has a role to play, and the team only succeeds when everyone is using their unique skills and supporting each other.
And just like a body needs all of its parts to function properly, a healthy Christian community needs everyone to contribute their gifts and talents for the benefit of the whole.
That's it. And that brings us to Galatians 6:2, a verse that talks about bearing one another's burdens. It's like the practical application of that radical love we were just talking about.
It's easy to talk about love and unity in the abstract, but this verse challenges us to put those principles into action, to actually step into the messiness of each other's lives and offer tangible support.
Yeah. You know what strikes me about that verse is the word bear. It implies a willingness to carry something heavy, to share the weight of another person's struggles. It's not just about offering a quick word of encouragement or a pat on the back. It's about getting in the trenches with each other and helping to carry the load.
It reminds me of those times in my own life when I felt overwhelmed by challenges or heartache, and the difference it made to have people in my community who were willing to just be there with me, to listen, to pray, to offer practical help without judgment or trying to fix everything.
Those are the moments when the true power of Christian community shines through, isn't it? It's in those times of vulnerability and shared struggle that we experience the depth of love and support that's only possible when we're truly connected as the body of Christ.
And it's not just about receiving support, is it? It's also about being willing to offer that same level of care and compassion to others in need.
Yeah, absolutely. We're called to both give and receive, to be a source of strength and encouragement for each other. And that's where those individual gifts we talked about earlier really come into play. Maybe you're a great listener, or you're gifted at offering practical help, or you have a knack for making people laugh when they need it most. Whatever your strengths are, there's a place for you to use them to bless and support others in your community.
It's interesting to think about how that one simple act of obedience, bearing one another's burdens, can actually fulfill the law of Christ. It's like this whole concept of community is woven into the very fabric of our faith.
That brings to mind another powerful verse that we touched on earlier, Matthew 18:20. It's the one where Jesus says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them."
Chills every time.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forget how powerful that is. We're not just gathering for social hour. Christ himself is present, when we come together as His followers.
It really elevates the whole concept, doesn't it? Christian community isn't just about human connection. It's about encountering the divine, experiencing His presence in a tangible way. And that should change how we approach our relationships within the community.
Wow. You know, just thinking about all these verses together, it makes me wonder if we sometimes underestimate the power and the potential of authentic Christian community.
I think you're right. Maybe we've gotten too comfortable with compartmentalizing our faith, but these scriptures are painting a picture of something much more holistic, something that touches every part of our lives.
So how do we bridge that gap between the ideal that we see in scripture and the reality of our everyday lives? Where do we even begin?
That is a great question, and it's one we'll unpack further in the next part of our deep dive. We'll look at some real-world examples of communities living out these principles and explore practical steps we can all take to strengthen our own connections and experience the transformative power of Christian community. As we continue this deep dive into Christian community, I keep coming back to that image from 1 Corinthians 12, the body of Christ.
Oh, yeah. Such a powerful metaphor, you know, for how interconnected we are as believers.
And not just connected, but interdependent. Each part, no matter how small or insignificant, plays a vital role in the overall health and function of the body.
That makes me think about how sometimes we might dismiss our own contributions or feel like we don't have much to offer. But this passage is saying that every single one of us has a unique and valuable part to play in the community.
Exactly. And it highlights the importance of valuing and appreciating the diversity of gifts within the body. We need teachers. We need encouragers. We need those who are gifted at serving practically. It's the combination of all these different parts working together that makes the body strong and effective.
Like a symphony orchestra, each instrument playing its part to create this beautiful, harmonious whole.
I love that analogy. And, you know, this idea of different parts working together reminds me of another important passage, Galatians 6.2. It talks about bearing one another's burdens, and that really gets to the heart of what it means to be in community.
It's easy to talk about love and unity in the abstract, but this verse challenges us to put those principles into action, to actually step into the messiness of each other's lives and offer tangible support.
You know, what strikes me about that verse is the word bear. It implies a willingness to carry something heavy, to share the weight of another person's struggles. It's not just about offering a quick word of encouragement or a pat on the back. It's about getting in the trenches with each other and helping to carry the load.
It makes me think about those times in my own life when I felt overwhelmed by challenges or heartache, and the difference it made to have people in my community who were willing to just be there with me, to listen, to pray, to offer practical help without judgment or trying to fix everything.
Those are the moments when the true power of Christian community really shines through, isn't it? It's in those times of vulnerability and shared struggle that we experience the depth of love and support that's only possible when we're truly connected as the body of Christ.
And it's not just about receiving support, is it? It's also about being willing to offer that same level of care and compassion to others in need.
Absolutely. We're called to both give and receive, to be a source of strength and encouragement for each other. And that's where those individual gifts we talked about earlier come into play. Maybe you're a great listener, or you're gifted at offering practical help, or you have a knack for making people laugh when they need it most. Whatever your strengths are, there's a place for you to use them to bless and support others in your community.
It's interesting to think about how that one simple act of obedience, bearing one another's burdens, can actually fulfill the law of Christ. It's like the whole concept of community is woven into the very fabric of our faith.
You know, that brings to mind another powerful verse that we touched on earlier, Matthew 18:8, the one where Jesus says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them."
Oh, that one always gets me. It's such a beautiful promise. That reminds us that we're never truly alone when we gather together as believers.
Yeah. And not only are we not alone, but we're in the presence of Christ Himself. That should change everything about how we approach our interactions within the community.
It's like an invitation to live out those values of love, forgiveness, and unity, even more intentionally, knowing that Christ is right there with us, guiding us, empowering us.
Exactly. And it challenges us to create a space where His presence can be felt, a space where people feel safe to be vulnerable, to share their struggles, and to experience the transformative power of His grace.
So it's not just about showing up for meetings or events. It's about cultivating a culture of love and acceptance where people feel seen, valued, and truly belong.
And that takes effort, doesn't it? It takes intentionality, humility, a willingness to put aside our own preferences and agendas and focus on the needs of others.
And it's not always easy. Let's be honest. We're all human. We make mistakes. We get hurt. We disagree. Conflict is inevitable in any close relationship, and communities are no exception.
You're right. And that's where forgiveness becomes so crucial. It's the glue that holds a community together when things get messy. It's the bridge that allows us to move forward, even when we've been hurt or offended.
And forgiveness isn't just a one-time event, is it? It's an ongoing process, a choice we have to make over and over again, especially in the context of community.
I think you're absolutely right. It takes a lot of humility and grace to extend forgiveness, especially when we feel justified in holding on to our hurt or anger.
It reminds me of that quote, "Forgiveness is giving up the hope that the past could be any different." It's not about condoning the wrong that was done. It's about choosing to release the bitterness and resentment that can poison our hearts and our relationships.
And that freedom that comes with forgiveness, it's not just for the person receiving it, it's for the giver as well. It allows us to let go of the pain and move forward in healing and wholeness.
It makes me wonder if sometimes we underestimate the cost of unforgiveness, not just on ourselves, but on the entire community.
It's like a crack in the foundation of a building. It weakens the whole structure. Unforgiveness creates division, suspicion, bitterness, and it can eventually tear a community apart.
So what are some practical steps we can take to cultivate a culture of forgiveness in our communities? How do we move from theory to practice?
That's such an important question, and it's something we'll delve into in the next part of our deep dive.
As we've been talking about forgiveness and its role in community, I keep thinking about Matthew 6:1-15, you know, that passage about...
Yeah, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Powerful stuff. It reminds us that forgiveness isn't just about making things right with each other. It's also about our relationship with God.
There's definitely a connection there isn't there. Our willingness to forgive others is a reflection of the forgiveness we've received from God. And let's be real, it's not always easy.
Especially when we've been really hurt or wronged. But I think that's where the power of the Holy Spirit comes in. You know, we can't do it on our own strength.
I agree with that. It's a supernatural act of grace, both to receive forgiveness and to extend it to others. It's definitely a process, too. It doesn't always happen overnight.
Sometimes it takes time, multiple conversations, maybe seeking wise counsel from others in the community.
Yeah, and sometimes it takes acknowledging our own need for forgiveness, you know, recognizing that we're not perfect. We mess up, too, and we need that same grace extended to us.
It's humbling, for sure. But incredibly freeing, too. When we can let go of that need to be right or to hold on to our hurt, it opens up so much space for healing and reconciliation.
And, you know, forgiveness isn't just about the individuals involved. It has a ripple effect on the entire community.
That's so true. When we choose to forgive, we're basically saying this relationship is more important to us than being right. We choose unity over division. And that creates a culture of grace and compassion that can transform the whole community.
I like that. It's like replacing a weed with a flower in a garden. The more we cultivate forgiveness, the more beautiful and vibrant the community becomes.
So, as we wrap up this deep dive into the power of Christian community, what's one thing you hope our listeners will take away from our conversation?
I think the main takeaway is that community isn't just a nice to have. It's essential to our faith, and it's not something that just happens. We have to actively build it through intentional choices grounded in the principles we see in Scripture.
It's about showing up consistently, being present with each other, bearing each other's burdens, extending grace and forgiveness freely, and remembering that we're all in this together, united in Christ.
And it's worth the effort, because when we experience authentic Christian community, it transforms us, it strengthens us, and it empowers us to live out our faith in the world.
So let's commit today to investing in our communities, to nurturing those relationships, and to being the kind of people who reflect the love and grace of Christ in everything we do.
And let's never underestimate the power of those simple acts of kindness, encouragement, and support. They might seem small, but they can make a world of difference.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it's been meaningful for you.
Until next time, keep diving deep, keep seeking truth, and keep building community wherever you go.